Welcome to episode number 299 of the Family Podcast Network. Today we're going to talk a little bit about the idea of consent and our kids giving us consent to do certain things. We often teach our kids that whenever they say no, they should mean no, and whenever they say yes, they should mean yes. However, we're also going to discuss how a lot of the underlying things that we teach our kids often contradict that idea of consent. Stay tuned for that and more.
Welcome to the Family Podcast Network, where we help you work with your tough kids, and even those that aren't. Coming to you from Tuscola, Texas, home and headquarters of the Family Podcast Network, here's your host, Trey Gibson.
Well, hello and welcome to this episode of the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids, and even those that aren't. It doesn't matter if you're expecting, if you're a brand new mom or dad, or even if you're a longtime seasoned parent. There is always something we can do to take that parenting to the next level. The date today is April the 28th, 2013. Our topic for today is consent. That's right. Today we're going to talk a little bit about the idea and the art of someone giving us consent, namely our kids giving us consent. We often have a tendency to teach our kids that we want them to be definitive when they say no to someone. We want them to mean no. When we say yes, we want them to mean yes. And yet, sometimes, many of the lessons that we give our kids through very subtle and very benign things actually contradict those things and teach our kids to be ready and expect the fact that they will not have consent in certain things. Before we get into that, guys, let's get some quick housekeeping out of the way. If you want to get notified of all the new episodes that come out of The Family Podcast, make sure you jump over to thefamilypodcast.com. Over on the right-hand side, name and email address. That has become people's very much favorite. And when people go on that list, they don't typically come off. Why do I think that is? It's a quick and simple and easy way to know what's the new episode that was kicked out today. What did Trey talk about on Monday and Wednesday? Or what did Jeff and Trey talk about on the Real Family Guys podcast on Friday? So jump over there, put your name and your email address in there. Make sure that you never miss out on an episode that could change everything about your week. Guys, if you want to stay tuned of all these episodes, there's a lot of easy ways that you can do that. One of my favorite ways is jump on over to our Facebook page. You can click on the upper left-hand corner of the page at The Family Podcast and go check out our Facebook page. Make sure you join that, like that. We have some really, really good discussions there. We talk about some really good concepts. And if you want to talk about really being able to sharpen yourself in terms of what we believe, the Family Podcast Network's Facebook page is a great way to do it because we use memes very specifically to talk about our belief system. So jump over there and check that out. If you have any questions, comments, thoughts, concerns, lots of ways you can do that, give us a call or give us a holler. Excuse me. You can always email us at treygibson@thefamilypodcastnetwork.com. You can also go to the contact us pages over on the right-hand side of The Family Podcast. You'll see a little yellowish-green button that says Ask Trey or Jeff a question. Click on that, and you can record a message right over your phone or your computer as long as you have a microphone connected to it. You can also call us at 661-PARENT-0. That number is 661-PARENT and the number 0. Give us a call, and we'll see about getting your – no, we will get your question on the air, so long as it is clear and easy to understand. So jump over there and do those things. Last, guys, you want to become a part of the Family Podcast. You're like, Trey, I love what you're doing, and you've been inspiring, and you've been encouraging to us, and we just want to help pay into what the Family Podcast Network does. There's a way that you can do that. You can support us by becoming a PTACker. You can do that by going to become a member or clicking on the PTACker page. You can do that at $5 a month, or you can do it at $50 for an entire year. When you get on that, you do get premium membership stuff that is only available to the members of the Family Podcast. All right, guys, with all of that out of the way today, let's jump into our topic for today, which is going to be consent. That's right. We're going to talk some today about consent. So whenever we talk about consent, what are we referring to? Consent defines simply as permission for something to happen or agreement to do something. Now, that's a simple concept that I think every single one of us wants to do this, especially in the lieu of the recent outbreak that there has been on perpetration sexually on kiddos. I think this has become so big and so tantamount for parents because we want our kids to be able to know how to say no. We want them to be able to draw lines in the sand and say, you will not do that. It's one of the number one things that perpetrators, whenever they are interviewed, they ask who they look for. They said they look for the passive ones that won't say no. And when they have a kid who will defiantly stand up to them and say no, they often drop it and leave it. And so that's such a valuable thing for us. But, I mean, even fast forward to our girls when they get older. I mean, we want our kids to be making a definitive choice that no matter how much pressure or bullying comes in our boys and our girls, we want them to be able to say yes or no accordingly without outside influence. And so if they have the desire to say no, we want them to be able to say no in those moments. And vice versa. If they want to say yes, they are definitively saying yes because they are not being coerced. It is solely because that is something they want. So this is important for us. It's important for our kids to learn this idea of giving permission for something to happen. The problem is, as much as we talk about this as parents as being some kind of sacred cow, something that we highly value, we have a tendency to violate the ideas of consent, and I don't even think we know it. In a lot of cases, I think we actually set our kids up to be non-consenting individuals from the very start, and we don't even realize that we're doing it. Through simple little things where we demand certain actions and reactions from them, we actually put our kids into a point that they do not even believe they actually have to ask, that people don't have to ask for consent before they come to them. And it's all under that holy banner of, well, I am the parent. So today, we're going to cover an article that I found over at everydayfeminism.com about four ways that parents teach kids that consent doesn't actually matter, even when we say it does. Now, for those of you out there that are going to get a little pissy about this, you said, oh, Trey, feminism. And my guess is that you see somebody out in front of the courtyards with like flaming bras being swung over their head or something like that. I want you to drop that. Guys, I'm a feminist. If you really want to break down the definition of feminism, I am a feminist. A feminist is somebody who has an ideology, a belief system that says that women are equal to men in all of the different categories that you can imagine. It doesn't matter whether it's political, it doesn't matter whether it's economic, it doesn't matter whether it's cultural, social. Women should be treated the same as men, and I agree. Not saying that men have all the same characteristics as women. I'm not saying that we are all the same entity. Yes, we have our strengths and weaknesses on both sides. I think that we attribute gender to too many things that are actually just personality-based. Women are more nurturing than men. No, I say bullcrap. I throw a bullcrap flag on that. I think y'all are socialized as women to be more nurturing than us, but I think men can be just as nurturing. Without losing our masculinity, I think that we can be just as nurturing as women. But we're not sold that. So with all of that said, feminism is just a belief system that there are inequalities that exist within our cultures today in America. It separate women out to be treated differently than men do, and I absolutely most emphatically agree. Last time I looked, for every $1 that a man made, women tend to make 70 cents of that dollar. So they make 7/10 of what men do. In all cases, it doesn't matter if they're the same qualifications, doesn't matter if they're in the same job level, even if they have the exact same position, girls have a tendency to make 70 cents for the man's dollar, at least last time I read the research on it. That's wrong. If they do the same level, if they do the same work, if they do the same quality, they put the same time in, heck, if they do better, they should either be paid the same amount or more. I believe in inequality all the way across the board. And so by the strictest sense, guys, there's a lot of subdivisions of feminism. And frankly, I just don't care that much. There shouldn't be subdivisions of anything. There's all men and women were created equal. But anyway. So, with all of that said, if you're getting pissy about the title called Feminism today, you're in the wrong place. Well, actually, I don't care if you stay here. However, you're not going to be amongst friends in the sense that I'm a feminist as well, and I think it's good. And I think we need to be pushing that women should be getting a fair shake just like everybody else. Now, women, you better be ready that if you get a fair shake, that also means you're going to get a fair shake at the consequences. And if you tell me that you're ready for that, you and I are going to get along just fine. So, okay, so anyway, talking about this article here, I'm just going to read a couple of the spots here. We're going to go through each one of these. And this author puts, and even so, even when we get to the point of explicitly teaching them, our kids, about it, consent, it's really not that strong of a teaching because all of our other interactions with them have possibly undermined the idea of consent. So she said, I would like to talk about four ways that parents sometimes teach the consent doesn't matter. Number one, the first is tickling and other types of rough play. I absolutely agree with this author. I think we have a tendency to take kids and to tickle them, and we hear them laughing or giggling or something like that, and we assume that that giggling and laughing automatically means that we have their consent. Now, I want to be very clear here. Much like the author states in this, I'm a huge tickler. I love to tickle my kids. My son loves to be tickled right at the clavicle. That is just, for some reason, his hot spot button. My littlest daughter, Cora, likes to be tickled on her feet. My littlest daughter, Charlotte, underneath the armpits. They've all got their little spots that they like to be tickled. However, I realized that there came a point. You know, I actually realized this, and I can tell on my wife because she's given me permission to say something to you guys about it. But, it kind of dawned on me. I remember watching my wife one time. This was probably, maybe 5 years ago or so. I mean, my oldest daughter was probably 2 years old, maybe three. And I remember that she had told my daughter Anna to come on. She goes, "Come here." And she picked her up and started kissing her and started tickling her. And I remember I began watching the way my wife was tickling, and something felt wrong about it. And I couldn't put my finger on it, and I stuck it away for future analysis and just kind of sat on it. But I began to realize what had bothered me about it was that the way my wife was doing it, the way she was tickling was as though it was like she was taking the tickling from Anna, like taking it from her. Like, "I'm going to get a tickle out of you, whether you like it or not." And she elicited a giggle out of it. But I remember I stopped and I talked to my wife about this. And we really spent some time hashing out this idea. And we began to realize that it was a form of control. It was, it was pushing a tickle onto my daughter, Anna, getting a response that we liked out of it, but not really initially, pulling her consent from it. So my wife and I talked about it. And I began to realize that we had lots of little things that we did those things where we just kind of took from them. And because we felt like we had gotten an affirmative response that we thought we must have there. Permission. So I want to be clear here. Tickling didn't stop in our household. We didn't all of a sudden quit doing it. We weren't told by our kids that we were big jerks and that we wish they never would have, this would have never happened. But we got to the point to where we were asking our kids, "Hey, is it okay for me to fill in the blank? Hey, is it okay for me to give you tickles like this?" The answer is yes in most cases. Sometimes, especially like with my daughter Cora, the answer is no, I don't want it anymore. Dad, I don't like that. And then the immediate response is, "Okay, all right, you got it. I won't tickle you like that ever again." And in some cases, we've been given permission, and we have long-standing permission. I don't ask for permission from my kiddos every time now, because there's some parts of it that we have an understanding that it's okay in these certain situations. And then if they ever don't have a problem, they know. They can just say, "Dad, don't do that, please." And it happens. Or it doesn't happen, depending on how you want to listen to that. But the idea of consent is so valuable. So we have this tendency. Whenever our kids say, "Don't tickle us," when they say, whenever we go into it, we assume that because we are hearing things like laughter, and we assume because we are hearing things like giggles, that we must have their permission. But I'm telling you now, ask your kids permission before you do anything that is even remotely interpreted as forceful. You have to make sure that you have permission from them. So, I recommend ask you. Sometimes we won't remember. Sometimes we'll get into a little bit of a tickling, and it's okay to remember in the middle of it and stop and say, "Gosh, I forgot to ask your permission. Is it okay that I'm tickling you?" "Yeah, Dad. Yeah, do it again. Yeah." Sometimes it's not even words. Sometimes they just shove their foot back in my hand or something like that. They're saying yes. And so, but again, it's so very important to ask our kids permission. But I want you to think about it. We can often use these things like this to say, "I'm going to give you what you want because you obviously like to be tickled." And then we take it from them. And do you see what can happen? That mentality that can be bred? That passivity that learns that I wait until somebody comes and tells me that they're going to give me the things that I need? Rather than communicating to other people what I need from them? It can be a very slippery slope. And the next one is one of my favorites, even though it's not my favorite, because I identify the most with it. She says, the second way that we can sometimes teach kids that consent doesn't matter is by contradicting their feelings. See, I'm big about that. She goes on to say that it's a huge problem because it comes so naturally. I've talked to this before when a kid says, "I'm cold." And we say, "No, you're not. It's hot in here." Or they say, "I'm hungry." "No, you're not. You just ate." Or, "I'm tired." "No, you aren't. You just got up from your nap." I think that we in our minds as parents think we know. Why are they saying this? She can't be hungry. She just ate. But by saying so, we teach them not to trust their own instincts and trust their own feelings. I agree with this. I think a lot of times, I'm huge about this. When the kids will come in and they're crying or something like that, and obviously they're upset about something or they're hurt by something, and I look at them and I say those words, "Oh, baby, you're fine." I do that so frequently. But the reality is, what I'm doing is I'm telling that their consent doesn't matter by contradicting their feelings. So some of you guys out there might be like, no, wait a minute. What does this have to do? What does the idea of giving permission have to do with contradicting their feelings? So it's a good question, and you really have to stop and think about this one. But I think the author was on to something a little next level type crap here whenever she went through this. And but I like where they're going with this. So if you think about this mentality of like, I'm cold. No, you're not. It's cold in here. What we're really telling kids when we say things like that is the things and the stimuli that you're responding to are not important. Not like the ones that I'm responding to. I feel like it's hot in here, but you're saying it's cold. You must be, and then we find some way to justify why they're wrong. You're just being a whiny baby. You're just being controlling or complaining or manipulative or whatever else we want to go through. So what in fact we are saying is you are not important. Do important people get to have consent and to give permission to people? Of course not. So when we spend time doing this kind of thing where we tell your kid, you know, like one of the examples that I love in here that they talk about is they said, I hate grandma. And then she would say, no, you don't say that. That's my mother. You love grandma and grandma loves you. Right? What does this do? This immediately denies what they are feeling in that moment. And now we may know in cases like this. I mean, they don't really hate grandma when they say stuff like this, though we may know that they do. When we do not get to a point to where we can avoid contradicting their feelings, we cannot establish within ourselves kids' ability to be able to feel like they can give consent to others because they don't feel like their feelings and their thoughts matter like ours do. So what do you do in stuff like this? One of the things the author recommends that I think is spot on is just give them open-ended, neutral-type answers. So if they were to say, you know, I hate grandma, the response that you might have is, oh, you do? Well, I think grandma really loves you. Or, last week you had a lot of fun with grandma. Are you sure you love her? I mean, you hate her? So, again, it's not saying that that what they're thinking isn't important. It's not saying that the ideas that they're getting to aren't valid. All it is saying is that, let's rethink this. Is that really what you want to say about this situation? And they may stick to their guns. Sometimes they do. But it's important to let them feel and think the way they want to feel and think. The third way that we sometimes teach kids that consent isn't important is through forced hugs and kisses. Yes, I absolutely agree. I've seen this happen before. I've seen some of my family members pick up one of the kids and say, no, hug me, kiss me. And they'll sit there and do that. And kids are trying to get away. But the reality is, if a kid is trying to push away, do not hold them close. We had our little, most of you guys know that we're adopting a little girl, and she came over today to our house for a visit to start kind of acclimating to us, and she spent some time over there. And one of the things that I did not do is I did not hug her without permission, which means that sometimes when I asked for a hug, she shook her head and said, no, you know what? That was okay. Why is that? It's because her consent is valuable to me. Because I do not need somebody who just nods their head and does something, even though everything inside them doesn't. I need trust with this baby girl. And that trust is so vital that I'm willing to put off my desire as the daddy inside me that wants nothing more than to wrap her up and for her to finally feel safe, which isn't going to happen anytime soon. I have to get to that point to where she trusts me. And I cannot force hug and kiss her into trusting me. As the author said, this is a huge red flag. But I mean, seriously, I want you to think about the ramifications that this carries. You know, fast forward 16 years to when our boys and girls are dating. And if they have been trained that you are to receive forced hugs and kisses, I mean, think about the context that can be setting our kids up with sexually later in life. They get to the point to where they just take it because they've been told that's what you're supposed to do. Instead of learning the mentality of, this makes me uncomfortable, I need you to stop. The author makes a suggestion that I think is absolutely great. They said whenever you go to like the family reunion, you see Uncle Joe, and Uncle Joe asks for a hug and kiss, then you can make sure that you set your kids up with that choice. Do you want to give them a hug and a kiss, or you just want to wave hi? And then we stick with it. Or maybe you do like the author says, wave hi and a blow kiss. Whatever is comfortable in your family. It is non-touch related greeting. That doesn't mean they're not going to hug Uncle Joe by the end. But you know, in a lot of ways, I find that selfish of Uncle Joe. Just because you spent 2 or 3 hours and you had a great fun time and everybody laughed last year or 3 months ago with a kiddo, why does that mean that you are deserving of things like that? You know, the idea of a hug and a kiss, a real authentically given hug and kiss, is so powerful. And I think that we have made it so flippant when it comes to kids and how we interpret those things. But that is not something that you do to anybody. You do that to somebody that you trust. And how arrogant is it to assume that you're going to give me the same thing? So then I think this brings up an important question, and the author hits on this as well. Should we force our kids to greet somebody that they don't want to? The author says, no, we should not force them to do that. I actually agree. Why do I agree? For the exact same reason this author does. She talks about, we wonder why sexual abuse is frequently a family member and why the kids didn't tell mom and dad. Well, they've been taught their entire lives that they should respect their elders and they should be giving physical affection to family members. So it becomes very hard for them to say, I was touched in an inappropriate way. So this is one really big implication right now for child sexual abuse. You really want your kids to know that they can say no and never have to be touched in the way that they don't want to be touched. And also when they are older, they feel like whenever they get the feeling in their stomach, I don't want to do this, next thing, I don't want to be touched in this way, they know that they can say no. So that's the mentality here, is that if we teach our kids, you must shake their hand, you must give them a hug, then if we're not careful, kids do not have the idea of what is appropriate touch. Because the reality is, touching a vagina is not inappropriate if you're cleaning out during a shower because they're too little to do it for themselves, right? But if Uncle So-and-so's doing it, might be very, very inappropriate. But if we've crossed those boundaries and they don't have those very firm limits and understandings, they don't know. That's not what we want. We want our kids to have a very clear definition of what is right and what is wrong, what is okay, what is it okay for somebody to do in touches, how do we give consent and how do we remove it? The fourth and the final way, yes, we are going to keep this short today. What is the fourth way that we sometimes teach kids that consent doesn't matter is just generally respecting your elders. You see, I have a major problem with this one. Right now, I'm telling you, it is such a big deal right now. This mentality that you should respect your elders. If they are older than you, you should respect them. You should respect your teachers. You should respect your police officers. You should respect your mom and dad. And my first thought is, why? Why? Why is this person who has not necessarily proven themselves as being respectful individuals be treated with something that has to be earned? Why should we give somebody that kind of respect solely just because they are older? Do I believe in respect to older people that are respectable people? Yes. But do I believe in pushing against something that is tyrannical, even if it's older than us? Yeah, I absolutely do. I think I've actually mentioned this online, but I just saw it this week. You know, we talk frequently about respecting our elders. And our church, the little church that I go to, is very big about this. And I always hear them talking about how, you know, on Wednesday we have a little potluck dinner. And at the potluck dinner, we always get in line and we eat. And we always tell the kids to go stand at the back of the line, that the ladies who prepared the food should be allowed to come front. Now, I want y'all to hear me say, I don't have a problem on a consensual level letting the ladies who have worked their butt off to get this food ready, to get everything set up, to get all the cake and individual desserts cut out and put on, you know, on plateware, and all the ladies who've poured up the 20 of each drink, tea and water and lemonade poured out into glasses with ice, I don't have a problem with the idea of them going first. However, we are teaching the kids to respect the adults and let the adults go first by going first and telling them to go last. I mean, do you see the insanity here? So once again, kids are forced into giving respect to their elders instead of them granting and giving permission for that respect. See, that's scary to me. That mentality of you will do this because I say. It's very, very scary to me. We need our kids to know They have the power to choose. Whenever a kid comes and talks to him and says, Trey, I've got all these bad grades, and this teacher's being a total biznitch, and I just want to tell her off, but I can't do that. My response is always, yeah, sure you can. It's always an option for you to tell off your teacher. What I'm hearing you say is, you don't want to because you've counted the cost, and you're not willing to put yourself in that position. Never had a kid disagree with me on that. You see, kids need to know that they have the ability to grant consent and permission for things. And it's no different when it comes to who they're going to respect. I'm telling you, a disrespectful kid is not always a bad thing at all. Somebody who's willing to push against the status quo is not always a bad thing. Trust me, we need to temper where we put our rebelliousness. It needs to be in good places. But there's something valuable to all of this that we're talking about. And respecting your elders as a blanket statement is a very bad place to do. You know, that was one of the interesting things. If you study what happened right before, you know, the Hitler came in World War I and World War II and did the mess that they did. If you take a look at what happened to the parenting regime, there became a heavy emphasis on you do what the patriarch says because their will is always right. Does that sound familiar? The Third Reich's belief system? The Führer, we do not disrespect what he tells us to do because whatever he says is right. If you really want to get into a stage of tyranny, you got to start with the parents and work it into the kids to accept it. And the reality is, one of the greatest contenders against tyranny is consent, because I think consent is the bedmate of freedom. The ability for me to give you permission to do something or to revoke and deny that permission to do something is a fundamental tenet of the free man. You see, we need to teach kids to understand and only respect and respond to the notion of free things, of free decisions. We do not need to teach them to be slaves. They cannot think. They cannot reason. And sure as hell can't give consent. Don't take something from your kid without permission. Always seek consent. Well, Trey, what about discipline? And I need to take away their this or that. Yes, I understand that sometimes that needs to happen. If kids' homework is suffering because they're spending too much time on Xbox and we need to take that away, I don't have any problem with that. But get them on board with it. How do I get them on board with that, Trey? Have them sit down and come up with ideas on what we can do to get their attention, to get them motivated for this. What do you think I should do? And you would be surprised. 9 times out of 10, when I did this with kids, they picked a punishment or a consequence that was way more than even I would have picked. All right, guys, that marks the end of this episode of the Humane Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. Guys, I hope you have a great day and a great week. I do want y'all to know we are in a bit of a disclaimer right here in that there's a major fire to the northwest of us. It was blowing towards us. There was a major wind shift, and it has now moved a different direction. So I'm thinking that we are okay. Should be good for this episode of the Family Podcast Network on Wednesday. But just in case, we may be pulling out an old show or something like that if we are in the process of evacuating again. I don't think that's going to be an issue at all. But just in case, want to let you guys know on that. Hey, you guys have a great day and a great week. And if nothing else, we'll see you guys on Wednesday.